power. But the point is, of course, that both Biden and Trump won elections, as did Hamas. But it's very often misrepresented that Hamas.
We're about near the end of our time. So
please.
Anyway, I think you're making a good point. It seems to me that Hamas is, you know, they were elected because they are sort of the only Palestinian group that has put up much resistance to Israeli land grabs. The PLO has kind of acquiesced, or I don't know exactly what they're doing, but Hamas has been fighting back. Most of their rockets have been in reaction to Israeli land grabs, and there is a situation, but it could... And but the thing is that the Hamas striking back also plays in Netanyahu's hands too. So it's a really dicey situation that it seems to me could very quickly descend to all-out war. But I think we're near the. This is about 9:30, and the show is. Oh, Ron, thank you for your call, and thank you all for listening. And stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Today on Wings, Green Women Farmers in India.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
This is Smita Ramanathan from Bangalore, India. Welcome to this edition of Wings Radio Show. I'm here in the studio with my colleague Manju Venkat and our sound engineer M.R. Ramamurthy. You heard a song in the voice of Jayamma. She is a farmer from a village called Theruvidi near Bangalore. The song is a prayer to the local deity. The childless pray to be blessed with children. Devotees pray for the removal of infertility and poverty. Today's story is about a group of women like Jayamma from villages near Bangalore. These women are swimming against the tide. In India today, farming is no longer a feasible livelihood for millions of small and marginal farmers. Many of them are moving to the cities in search of livelihoods where they join the ranks of the unemployed and underemployed. In this context, the work of these farmers near a place called Kanakpura, 50 kilometers away from Bangalore, India's large metropolis, is significant. These women have resolutely held on to their lives and livelihoods in their villages. They belong to an organization called Green Foundation. Their mission? They continue to practice farming as in the olden days, the days before the Green Revolution. They use indigenous seeds and organic inputs.
A brief background of the Green Revolution in India. This agricultural movement was started in the early 60s in response to food shortages and famines in India, which impoverished millions. To increase food production and productivity, the Indian government approached scientists in India and abroad for help. This led to the development of hybrid varieties of wheat and rice and the introduction of synthetic fertilizers, pesticides, and chemicals. Food production did increase. What it also did was pave the way for entry of large commercial seed and chemical manufacturers. It standardized and homogenized agriculture. What we lost as a result was our vast diversity in agriculture. It is this loss that organizations like Green Foundation are trying to reverse. We spoke to a few of the farmers working with the foundation near Kanakapura. In Bangalore, we also spoke to Vanaja Ram Prasad, the founder of the organization. Vanaja has been working in this field for about 40 years. Let us hear from her on how it all started.
When I had moved into Bangalore and I was looking for a job, mm-hmm. I felt the kind of job I'd like to be involved in, it should be something that gives back to the society. Mm-hmm. So I went to work in a hospital outreach program. Mm-hmm. And so I used to go with their team okay. into the villages. Mm-hmm. And we used to see a lot of children. They were neighboring areas with a lot of quarries. And the women were working as stone breakers. Mm-hmm. And then their children were so malnourished. Mm-hmm. It was a typical case of kwashiorkor and marasmus. Mm-hmm. So they used to bring these children to the hospital. And they used to be fed with the American milk powder. Mm-hmm. So the recovery was very fast okay. because the milk powder has high protein. Mm-hmm. And I heard gory stories like where the mothers used to give them alcohol to make them sleep. Mm-hmm. And they'll go to work. And then naturally they are taken off the breast mm-hmm. and then they are not given enough formulas. Hmm. So the minute they go back, the children will go into remission and they'll come back in the worst situation.
As part of the rehabilitation program, the children were then fed locally available food. The mothers were trained how to prepare these foods. However, they were so poor, they could not continue to do that when they went back home. This set Vanaja thinking.
Then it made me think, this is only a temporary measure. But if we have to go down to the root, then we have to understand. At that time, it was the peak of Green Revolution. India was producing a lot of food and our granaries were overflowing. So it is quite an anomaly to think, on the one hand we have so much food, on the other hand there's so much of malnutrition and poverty.
Vanaja went back to school to get an academic perspective of the problem. To understand the field situation, she also travelled across India to talk to farmers. This is what she learned from her travels. She says,
A striking thing that came out was that in Green Revolution, there was complete change in the way people cultivated and what they cultivated. It was all monocultures. Mm-hmm. The diversity that India could have boasted of was all lost. Mm-hmm. Because India has fantastic agroecological zones. Mm-hmm. It has high rainfall, semi-arid, desert, and then rain-fed areas. Like this, across the country, the agroecological zones were so different. During the Green Revolution, the market only was for rice and wheat. So the farmers had stopped growing millets. Everybody just jumped into rice and wheat. And that too, the diversity in rice and wheat also narrowed down. See, the scientists started talking about productivity. Productivity was only per acre, this many kilos of rice or wheat. But they did not take into account what nutrition people got and what is the insurance against failure of crop.
Vanaja felt that merely trying to increase food production would not eradicate hunger. That was like treating the symptoms of the disease and not the cause of the disease itself. She felt that she had to go back to the villages work with farmers and tap into their wisdom to get to the root of the problem. She raised resources for buying some farmland near Kanakpura. When she started work there in 1990s, literacy levels were low. Urbanization had yet to come to Kanakpura. When the foundation started work in this area, farmers had already started using hybrid varieties of seeds and were using synthetic fertilizers. Sumati, a farmer from Maralwadi village, says that they believed the myth that use of synthetic inputs was the only way to get a good yield. Let us listen to her.
ಅದು ಒಂದು ಭ್ರಮೆಯಾಗಿಬಿಟ್ಟಿದೆ ಇಲ್ಲಿ ರೈತರುಗಳಿಗೆ. ಅದು ಇನ್ಆರ್ಗ್ಯಾನಿಕ್ ಗೊಬ್ಬರ ಹಾಕಿದ್ರೇನೆ ಬೆಳೆ ಬರೋದು, ಅದು ಹುಟ್ಟೋದು, ಅದು ಗೊಬ್ಬರ ಹಾಕಿದ್ರೇನೆ ಅದು ಮೊಳಕೆ ಬರೋದು ಅನ್ನೋ ಒಂದು ಭ್ರಮೆಯಾಗಿಬಿಟ್ಟಿದೆ.
ದ ಗ್ರೀನ್ ಫೌಂಡೇಶನ್ ಬಿಗ್ಯಾನ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ವರ್ಕ್ ಬೈ ಆರ್ಗನೈಸಿಂಗ್ ಸೀಡ್ ಫೆಸ್ಟಿವಲ್ಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಬೀಜ ಮೇಳಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಲೋಕಲ್ ಲ್ಯಾಂಗ್ವೇಜ್. ವನಜಾ ಟಾಕ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿ ಅರ್ಲಿ ಡೇಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಕ್.
ಸೊ ವಿ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಆರ್ಗನೈಸ್ ಬೀಜ ಮೇಳಾಸ್. So asking the farmers to bring whatever original seeds that they have to bring it to this mela, and then reward the person who has kept a lot of. So this was an incentive. And then there were just five women who cooperated and came into it. And then a small cow shed we started multiplying this small quantities of seeds. So at that time, people were laughing at us. What are you going to do with small quantities when our requirements are so huge? The same people now, see the kind of importance that is there for the seeds. And slowly from 5 grams to 50 grams, 50 grams to 5 kilos, like that, it kept on multiplying.
She went on to explain how international research institutes introduced hybrid rice and wheat varieties to India. These were new to the Indian ecosystem and attracted a lot of pests. She also talked about the politics behind such research.
In the 70s, I saw a fantastic film called The September Wheat, which said about wheat that is being made into high-yielding varieties and hybrid varieties in United States. And there was so much wheat, they didn't know what to do with it. They wanted to send it to war-torn areas and countries like ours. And the other thing was that they gave subsidy to farmers in the United States not to grow, because there's so much surplus. Now they didn't know how to deal with it. So one of their politicians looks at the granary and says, this is more powerful than our weapons in the war. Food.
Yeah.
You can keep people in your clutches.
Yes.
With the control of food. So that is how the whole story of Green Revolution started. In fact, we have done comparison between high yield variety and the indigenous variety. How much they spent, how much is their yield. In spite of all that, see, the yield will be a little less in the indigenous varieties, but they'll be spending more. Anyway, it was more men who wanted to grow the high yielding varieties, take it to the market, and they were lured by the money. So in the case of finger millet, we found the volume of high yielding varieties was a lot more. So when they take it to the market, they will be able to sell it by bags. But whereas when the indigenous varieties are grown, they are filled. They are not, they'll be less in volume but more in weight. And the flavor, we have conducted many participatory varietal selections with farmers. And when they rate the different crops, they'll give a very high rating for the indigenous crops. Because in the indigenous, they have high fodder quality, high cooking quality, the taste is much better. And the aroma is much better. Whereas in the high yielding varieties, the quantity may be more, but all these, they'll rank very low.
Sumati, one of the farmers that we spoke to near Kanakpura, talks of her experience with growing organic produce.
Organic ne beldiranthuddu ಇದು ಕೆಮಿಕಲ್ ಹಾಕಿ ಬೆಳೆದಿರೋಂಥದ್ದು ಹೆಸರು ಕಾಳನ್ನು ನಾನು ಉಪಯೋಗಿಸಿದ್ದೀನಿ. ಅದು ಟೇಸ್ಟಿಗೂ ನಾವು ಸಾವಯವದಲ್ಲಿ ಬೆಳೆದಿರೋ ಹೆಸರು ಕಾಳು ಟೇಸ್ಟಿಗೂ ತುಂಬ ವ್ಯತ್ಯಾಸ ಇದೆ. ಅದರಲ್ಲಿ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಇದು ಬರುತ್ತೆ, ಸ್ಮೆಲ್ ಬರುತ್ತೆ.
ಸುಮತಿ ಸೆಟ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಗ್ರೀನ್ ಗ್ರಾಮ್ ದಟ್ ಶಿ ಗ್ರೋಸ್ ಯೂಸಿಂಗ್ ಇಂಡಿಜಿನಸ್ ಸೀಡ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಆರ್ಗ್ಯಾನಿಕ್ ಇನ್ಪುಟ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಮಚ್ ಟೇಸ್ಟಿಯರ್. ದ ಅದರ್ ಕ್ರಾಪ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಓಡರ್ ವಿಚ್ ದ ಆರ್ಗ್ಯಾನಿಕ್ ಒನ್ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್. I asked her how she copes with the loss in income which is caused by lower yields. She said that though the yield comes down, there is no real loss as the quality of the crop is better and the cost of input is less. She also finds that organically grown grains are heavier. As a result, one needs to consume less of it to appease one's hunger. She says that on careful observation, this is better for health and so is no loss at all.
Let us listen to Vanaja talk about the importance of using indigenous seeds.
We have found when this kind of climate change is there, the rains are delayed. But sowing would have already taken place. So the high-yielding varieties will just wither away. Whereas the indigenous varieties will start coming up with the rain. And then we also felt that there was an overarching political reason why the high-yielding varieties and hybrid varieties were being promoted. Because it is the companies which are going to take control of food. And the same companies also started manufacturing the chemicals that were needed. So it's coming as a package to the farmers.
In our discussion, I mentioned the book The World According to Monsanto by Marie Monique Robinson. She writes that Monsanto, which is today a seed supplier to the world, started out as a company manufacturing coolants and lubricants. These very companies also control much of the research that takes place in agriculture. I asked Vanaja if it is true that most seed producing companies are also manufacturing chemicals.
Correct.
Right? And now they are a seed company.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And they are also producing all these glyphosate resistant varieties and so many other things, Roundup and all those things. So this that's why we wanted to focus on policy matters also.
Policies related to agriculture in India are actually a mixed bag. India is one of the first countries to have legislation to protect farmers' rights. The Protection of Plant Varieties and Farmers' Rights Act seeks to protect rights of both farmers and breeders. Breeders are seed manufacturing companies, and the act was initially a result of demand from them. Clauses to protect rights of farmers were added as a result of pressure from civil society. India's Biological Diversity Act stipulates that benefits from the use of traditional biological resources and knowledge must be shared equitably. However, in reality, this does not happen. Scientists and companies take traditional knowledge and resources and use patent laws and other means to make proprietary products. This is then delivered back at a heavy price. It is in this context that the Green Foundation works on the concept of food sovereignty.
See, there is a big difference between food security and food sovereignty. See, food sovereignty means farmers who produce food must have control over their food. Whereas food security is only you are reaching out through this PDS, through midday meal schemes. You are trying to, you know, cover up the lack of food for the people. Whereas food sovereignty includes sovereignty over seeds, all the inputs that are needed for their agriculture, land. So many people in India don't have land. They are landless and they are lease out land. So the patta is not even in their names.
The
and women don't have the title. So with all this, I think there's a long way to go before we reach that situation of food sovereignty.
PDS that Vanaja mentioned is the public distribution system, and the midday meal scheme is run in schools. These are food security programs of the Indian government. The seed bank run by the women farmers in Kanakpura is one small step towards food sovereignty. It started out 12 years ago as a bank where farmers exchange seeds. Today it has grown into a small enterprise. Mahadeshwara Seed Producers Group is run by a group of 10 women. Each woman invested $16 as working capital. They were provided grants by the Green Foundation and the government, which helped them secure assets such as a building and storage facilities. They procure good quality indigenous seeds from farmers and sell it locally. The seeds are preserved using natural materials, and they do the germination test before selling. They also produce organic inputs and vegetable seeds. Let us listen to Vijaya Kumari, the secretary of the group, talk about the seed bank.
ಮುಂದೆ ಬೀಜ ಬೇಕು ಅಂದಿದ್ರೆ ಹೊರಗಡೆ ಹೋಗ್ಬೇಕಾಗಿತ್ತು ತರ್ಲಿಕ್ಕೆ. ಈಗ ಬೀಜ ಬ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಆಗಿರೋ ದಿಸೆ ಹೊರಗಡೆ ಹೋಗುವಂಥದ್ದು ಏನಿಲ್ಲ, ಇಲ್ಲೇ ಸಿಗುತ್ತೆ. ಒಟ್ಟಲ್ಲಿ ರೈತರುಗಳ ಹತ್ರ ಎಲ್ಲ ತಂದು ಇಲ್ಲಿ ಇಟ್ಕೊಂಡಿರ್ತೀವಿ, ಇಲ್ಲಿಂದ ತಿರ್ಗಾ ರೈತರುಗಳು ತಗೊಂಡೋಗ್ತಾರೆ ಅಂತ ಬೇರೆ ಬಿತ್ತನೆ ಕಾಲ ಬಂತು ಅಂದರೆ.
ವಿಜಯ ಕುಮಾರಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ದ ಸೀಡ್ ಬ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎಸ್ಟಾಬ್ಲಿಷ್ಡ್, ಫಾರ್ಮರ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ವಿಸಿಟ್ ಮೆನಿ ಮಾರ್ಕೆಟ್ಸ್ ನಿಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಟು ಬೈ ಸೀಡ್ಸ್. ನೌ ದೇ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬೈ ಇಟ್ ಆಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಡೋರ್ ಸ್ಟೆಪ್. Since the bank knows of their requirements, they can be assured of getting what they want. She went on to add that there is now a demand for these seeds as farmers have realized that grains grown from indigenous seeds have higher nutrient content.
Many farmers are aware of the better quality of indigenous plant varieties and their role in combating hunger. However, governments and research institutes continue to press for high-end technology to increase production and productivity to feed the growing population. The kind of research done by small farmers hardly attracts any funding or attention. In her book, Living on the Edge, Women, Agrobiodiversity and Livelihood, Vanaja talks about the need for gender-sensitive research. We asked her to give examples of such research.
Like, for example, you are only doing on increasing the production, but you are not looking at a multi-cropping system, how it provides nutrition to the whole family. And also the type of crops that the women would like to grow for festivals, for special needs, for the children. And another thing is, like, we found an old woman. We asked her, what are the kind of, things that you collect from your field during the rainy season? She brought about 70 or 80 different weeds, what we call as weeds. But it was not weeds for them. So we think that we need to kill all the weeds with the weedicides and insecticides. Whereas they have value for them. It is ethno-veterinary, it is for children's illness, they make something. Also, lot of food for themselves. So, they need to collect things like that. So, whatever research is being done should be able to. Now, of course, international organizations are talking about underutilized plants and this and that. So, when an international organization talks, there is a response. Whereas, we don't listen to the people who are in the field.
Green Foundation also talks about the need for gender-sensitive policy. Let us listen to Vanaja talk about this.
Why did women give up growing millets? Because it needed a lot of hard work. So, policy should be there to develop some mechanization, which, of course, now it has come. So, kind of mechanical devices that are needed to reduce the load of for women should be developed. Schools for girl children, which is close by, and good education for them. It is good if they are educated also, because we find what is lacking is in these enterprises, women's financial literacy is very low. So how do we bring up their awareness about financial literacy? How much they are spending, how much they are earning? They need to know because they have invested money in it. So there should be a policy to help women in these areas.
Sarva Mangala from the Mahadeshwara Seed Producers Group talks of how machinery has reduced women's drudgery in the home.
ಚಟ್ನಿ ರುಬ್ಬೋದಿಲ್ಲ ಎಲ್ಲ ಮಿಷಿನ್ಗೆ ತಗೊಂಡು ಹೋಗ್ತೀವಿ, ಮಿಷಿನಿಂದ ರಾಗಿ ಎಲ್ಲ ಕ್ಲೀನ್ ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡು ಅಸೆಟ್ ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡು ಬಂದಿರ್ತೀವಿ. ಮನೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ರುಬ್ಬಬೇಕು ಅಂದ್ರೆ ಮಿಕ್ಸಿಗೆ
ಸುಚಿ ಹಾಕ್ಬಿಟ್ರೆ ಆಗೋಯ್ತಿಲ್ಲ
ಅಷ್ಟೇ.
ಶೀ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಯೂಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಪ್ಲಯನ್ಸಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಮಿಕ್ಸೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗ್ರೈಂಡರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕಿಚನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ಲಿ ರಿಡ್ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ವುಮೆನ್ಸ್ ಡೈಲಿ ಟಾಯ್ಲ್. ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಓಪನ್ ಟು ದ ಯೂಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನ್ಯೂ ಟೆಕ್ನಾಲಜಿ ಟು ರಿಡ್ಯೂಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಡ್ರಜರಿ ಇನ್ ದ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್ಸ್.
Today, many Indian farmers are moving to the cities to eke out a living. The Green Foundation is making an attempt to promote agriculture-based enterprises in the villages where it works so that farmers can realize better incomes. This is what Vanaja has to say.
Why are farmers attracted to the city? They are looking for jobs. And they are attracted by this whole thing of In the night through,
urban,
you have
a lifestyle
and lights and all that. See, no person would like to leave their land, leave their home and come into a city like this and then live in a slum.
Yes.
There is also reverse migration taking place.
Okay.
Because of all the problems that are there in the cities. So we are hoping that by creating livelihoods, the farmers will continue to find it useful to stay in the villages.
An important part of promoting livelihoods is the establishment of a farmers' federation called the Janadhanya. Janadhanya means people's grains. Green Foundation works in nearly 200 villages around Kanakapura. Farmers in these villages have conserved more than 360 varieties of indigenous cereals, pulses and vegetables. This includes more than 50 varieties of finger millet and 36 varieties of paddy. Janadhanya serves as the marketing arm for these enterprises. They purchase products from these farmers and sell them locally as well as in Bangalore, where there is a growing demand for organic produce. You heard the organic farmer Sumati talk at the beginning of this show. She heads the Sri Maruti Oil Producers Group in her village of Maralwadi. They produce organically grown seeds such as sesame and coconut and extract oil using a cold press. They sell to the Janadhanya as well, offer their services to local farmers wanting to extract oil.
The Annapurneshwari Finger Millet Producers Group in Marasarahalli village has 13 members. They run a millet grinding unit. They produce flour from organically grown finger millet and sell it to Janadhanya. Ratnamma, a member of this group, talks of their enterprise.
ಈ ಕೊಟ್ಟಿಗೆ ಗೊಬ್ಬರ ಹಾಕಿ ರಾಗಿ ಮಾಡ್ತಾರೋ ಅವ್ರು ರಾಗಿ ತಗೊಳ್ಳೋದು ನಾವೇನೇ ಪರ್ಚೇಸ್ ಮಾಡಿ ರಾಗಿ ತಂದು ತಿರ್ಗಾ ಇವಾಗ ಜನಧಾನ್ಯಕ್ಕೆ ನಾವು ಅವು ಆರ್ಡ್ರ್ ಬಂದಾಗ ಕೊಟ್ಕೊಳ್ಸೋದು ಆಮೇಲೆ ಅದರಲ್ಲಿ ರಾಗಿ ಪೌಡ್ರ್ ಮಾಡೋದು.
ರತ್ನಮ್ಮ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ದೇ ಬೈ ಆರ್ಗ್ಯಾನಿಕ್ ಫಿಂಗರ್ ಮಿಲೆಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಫಾರ್ಮರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೆಲ್ ದ ಫ್ಲಾ ಟು ಜನಧಾನ್ಯ. ದೇ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಮೇಕ್ ವ್ಯಾಲ್ಯೂ ಆಡೆಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಡಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಎಸ್ ಫ್ಲಾ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಸ್ಪ್ರೌಟೆಡ್ ಮಿಲೆಟ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲ್ ಫ್ಲಾ ಫಾರ್ ಪ್ಯಾನ್ಕೇಕ್ಸ್.
ಗ್ರೀನ್ ಫೌಂಡೇಶನ್ಸ್ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್ ಮ್ಯಾನೇಜರ್ Shankarappa told us that there are more than 15 farmer producer groups in the villages around Kanakapura. They are all linked to Janadhanya. They have become stakeholders by purchasing shares in the federation. The Janadhanya Federation is therefore accountable to these farmers.
Listening to these women, I couldn't help wonder, how is it that they are able to hold out against such mighty forces? The huge corporations, the pull of the city, not so favorable laws. Sarvamangala, a member of the seed producers group, said that as long as they are alive, they will keep the movement going. She is not sure if the next generation will follow their example, but thinks that it is an example worth setting nevertheless. She also feels that women are more likely to keep this going rather than men.
As we left the seed producers group in Therubidi, Jayamma's song continued to ring in my ears. I pray with her that hunger and poverty may indeed be removed from our land. This is Manju Venkat saying goodbye from Bangalore, India, with Smita Ramanathan and M.R. Ramamurthy. Thank you for listening.
Ella magane madi batte taralilla olmeti swami tarutini baale bagidavo.
To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or find Wings Radio on Facebook. Wings loves our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Lee Bana's album A Circle
Is
Cast.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Hi, my name is Laura. I'm calling you from Portland, Oregon right now. The reason I love KBOO is because I'm a huge fan of Democracy Now! And where else can I get my alternative news and all the information that there is to know that isn't told? So thank you very much for all you do, and I really do appreciate it.
Go to kboo.fm/give to make your contribution right now.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Grendel's Coffee House in Portland, offering organic coffee, breakfast, and lunch. More information on Grendel's Facebook page and by phone at 503-595-9550.